This Bible here, oh, can you do the next slide? This Bible here, it was my grandma's Bible. I mentioned this to the kids. On the inside, it does read, "To Eva Westfall by her father, Leland, on Christmas 1916. What a gift from a mother from a dad to a daughter. This, well, as the kids noticed, this Bible is looking tough. It's been through quite a bit. If you think about what my grandma went through, two of her sons served in the Pacific during World War II. And you may not know this, but they didn't have texting at that time. And they didn't have daily Facebook updates to let all their friends know, gee, enjoying the ocean, love the view, meeting new people. Now, they didn't have that at the time, so some of you don't have to imagine. Some of you can know this, what it's like to be a parent, a mom or a dad. I don't know this, and I don't want to know this, and have, you can call them adults, but they're always your kids, to have them so far from you and in harm's way and not knowing. At the time, during World War II, when you would have somebody serving, you'd have a star in your window. My grandma Eva had that star, those stars, in her window. And while she was waiting, not just a day or two or a week, but months. And for some people, you do not want to get a telegram. You don't want to get news. So there you are waiting, and there while she was waiting, her hands held this. You know, the oils of her fingerprints are on this. While she was waiting and worrying and concerned about her sons, her hands held this. And my grandma, you know, she got this as a gift before she was married. So on her wedding day, on the day of joy and delight, she held this. And the same hands that took care of my mom, the same hands that burped my mom, that caressed her cheek, those hands held this, which I hold now. What a gift and a treasure this is. And it's not as if she was holding some rabbit's foot or lucky charm. No, she was holding the Word of God. And not just holding it closed, but looking in it for help, for answers, while she struggled and while she celebrated. I mentioned this one's from 1916, and I'm not saying this is a competition, but does somebody here have one older in your home? Do you know? Oh, what? Where? Oh! How old, do you know? So from the 18, well, you could see it was probably a little bit like this. So you have it from the 1800s. And what a treasure. You know, the holy things, sacred things, the things of faith, they go beyond definition. We can try and box them up and put a definition around them and call it an heirloom, but this is no heirloom, because the Word of God is alive and active. Yes, I have this, and we could take something like this and put it in a glass box and put it on the wall. We could take these and make them museum pieces in our homes, but soon, actually, this coming Wednesday, the confirmation kids. And if you have one of these, the confirmation kids, get it out of the box and put your hands on it. Feel it. Go ahead, take this out of its box and feel it. Now, I didn't intend that as a theme, but wouldn't that be a good theme for the Word of God? Take it out of its box and work it over in your hands. Way back in the early church, way back in the 300s, there was this, the way they would read the Bible then is they would have scrolls, and well, just like we did this morning. What we did this morning is something that's been done for 2,000 years, where a leader in the church, would come and unroll the scrolls and find the passage, and we would listen together just like we did. What a holy 2,000-year privilege. And even longer than that, because even deeper into our heritage, when church came together in synagogues and in temples, a leader would come forward and read, and together we would listen to the Word of God. Well, there was in the 300s, when churches, some were in hiding, some were in living rooms, there was this, Marcella was her name, and she would go to church. It was in the year 300s, and her pastor was Jerome, and she would challenge her pastor. They would read the Bible, and she would interrupt, or she would say, and I'm not asking you to do this, but but during scripture readings and after, when she got a Bible passage that bugged her, and have you ever read a Bible passage that bugged you? If you haven't, read more. But a Bible passage that would get under her skin, or one that she just disagreed with, or one that just didn't set right, and she would ask questions. And she and her pastor and the congregation in the years 300 would, well, I don't know, maybe we could call it adult Bible school, adult Sunday school. And they would wrestle with the questions. But that's in the early days of the church. In the middler times, in something we call the Dark Ages. And you can look that up in Wikipedia or the World Book Encyclopedia. There was a time in human history that were called Dark Ages for many reasons. But for one, is that the Word of God was pulled out of our hands. And it was kept only in the special places. And so the professionals, the high priests, they would tell you what you need to know out of the Bible. The Bible was pulled out of our hands, and we were told what to believe and what to understand. We're not in that day now. We're far past that day. But there are dark places in this world right now. There are places, in China, there are people who are watching the internet for any Chinese postings of Bible verses, and they're wiped off. They're plucked out. There are places in North Korea where, and confirmands, go ahead and feel this. There are places in North Korea where you would be arrested for doing this. Or even worse, this. Now, there are dark places in this world. And there were even dark times when slave owners would not want slaves to be looking at this, because the Word of God is powerful. And so slave owners, or leaders in the Dark Ages, they would go ahead and tell you what to believe out of here. Well, I'll tell you what this says. But now we live in a different place, in a different time, and we have this gift. The same book. And now I'm holding a different Bible, but it is the same book that my grandma held. It's the same book that my grandma's mom held. When my grandma's mom made her way from the East Coast, the East Coast all the way to Oregon, when she made her way there, she had this gift. The people who have gone before us, our moms, our dads, our grandmas and grandpas and great-great-great-great-greats, they've done some amazing things. And not all of them, but many of them, drew from the strength of this. There was a time I was doing a children's sermon, and I was feeling good about it, and that's a dangerous thing in the middle of a children's sermon. And I was sitting, and I got all done. I made a great point. I wowed them, changed their lives, I'm pretty sure. And when I was done, this little boy says, you know, they're all on their way out, and he turns and he says to me, "I've got two words for you." And sure, what? Breath mints. He really did. And his name, well, no, I better not do that. So, and you know what I thought about the rest of that day? And I had bought the best sermon you could buy off the internet for that day. And I had it all revved up and ready to go, and I had other things going, but you know what I thought about for the rest of that day and the rest of that week? Breath mints. Our words, no matter who they come from, they matter. Every word that comes out of our mouth has power. And this was a power of a kid he had for me. He made me think about my breath the rest of the day. And if a little one has the power with his words to change my mood, to change my mind, to change what I'm thinking about, imagine. I don't even have to ask you to imagine, but know what the Word of God can do in our hearts, in our minds. The very Word of God through whom everything was created. Now there's power. All of you who receive this new, and I know this isn't the first time you've been given a Bible, this isn't the first time you open a Bible, but I'm going to tell you something. You can read this Bible through and through, from beginning to end, 3-4 times, and even still, you will be surprised. You can believe in your heart that you know this, and there will be a day in your life or something that's happening that when you read this, you'll go, "Oh, golly, I didn't know that was in there." This is a humbling book. And on that day, when you've been reading this through and through, on that day when you open this again and you say, "Golly, I didn't know that was in there." Or you might use your own words. You might not say "golly," or, but it will be just the thing you need. The Bible will not always tell us what we want, but God will tell us what we need. God's very love is poured out for us in this book. And I tell you a little story about my grandma or my mom or my uncles. Little stories of our great-great-great-grandmas and grandpas and uncles and cousins are in here. Just regular people living their lives, harvesting grain or trying to make a sale or squishing grapes, just living. And God breaks into their lives. And their hearts are changed and their lives are amazing. And we, you and I, we live our lives. And sometimes we feel so ordinary. But God yearns to break into our hearts. And this can do it. We know it. We live by it. You know, if I was sitting in the church saying, gee, I wish every kid in this church had a gyroscope, I think people would say, well, that's interesting. Or if I said, each kid in this church I wish had a skateboard, people would say, that's nice, that's a nice wish, good luck. But I said, I sure would like our confirmation kids to have Bibles, and immediately, we can do that. I hear immediately, we can do that. And then within a week, somebody's bringing a Bible to me, and within 2 weeks, they said, I found some more. That's because you already know what a rich treasure the Bible is. You already know. There was this little boy, Timothy. His grandma, Lois, taught him to pray. Open the scriptures with him, but the way she did it in her day is she didn't have a book bound like this. She would bring him to church. And with Lois's daughter, Timothy's mom, they would come to church and they would listen and they would bring him up in the faith. And then one day, Timothy becomes so prominent in the church that he has two books of the Bible named after him, 1 and 2 Timothy. And the writer of those letters, the Holy Spirit guiding Paul, says, Timothy, hold on to your faith. Hold on to the faith that was given to you through your grandma, Lois. I didn't meet my grandma. She died when my mom was in her teens. And some kids in our church, they don't get to meet a grandma. But we've got plenty of grandmas and grandpas to spare here in the body of Christ. This is our family book. And for all who have this gift, we are part of the family. This book opens us up to nothing less than the power of God's holy word. What a gift we have. Amen.